Hello, humans. Welcome to Audio Face, episode 128. We are an irreverent podcast about the music news and culture that mostly matters. I'm Sean.
I'm Dan.
I didn't chuff that up for once. We've got a lot of music and like two news stories.
Yeah,
so it's gonna be short and sweet, but everything's gonna be about actual music today.
Those of you who have been like, I'm sick of Audio Face talking about the news stories and all that random shit. Well, this is the episode for you. 128. Thanks for holding it.
We've got six singles, which
six,
is
count them,
wild.
Six singles, and a lot of discourse going around these singles too.
This is true.
Then we have our albums.
We've got Funeral by Lil Wayne. We've got High Road by Kesha, and Heavy Is the Head by Stormzy, which came out in December, if I recall correctly, right?
Yes.
Right when we took off our time off. So yeah, we're getting back to. I think, is that the last one that we're reviewing of last year, or do we have another one next week?
I think
this should be the last one.
That's the last of last year. We have some stuff that came out in January,
which is
that
fine.
We've also
yeah.
missed. I need to kind of. I messed up my calendar thing. It'll be good because we're in February. While we are not getting the 1975, we are getting new Green Day, new Tame Impala, new Caribou. Oof. Like it's gonna be a month. So yeah, should be exciting.
Let's jump into these singles. So we're gonna go
hot
first into
your area.
Okay. Radio Remix by Lil Nas X featuring Nas.
Yeah, Big Nas.
Big Nas. It's like Big Nas, Lil Nas.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I started laughing when at that part.
That actually happened. This is a match that was made in heaven, like coming
in Nas heaven.
Yes. Both Lil Nas and Big Nas did the remix of Rodeo, which the song's been out for a while. It's a good song, good track. Spin a block on 12 horses, buy the block and get a boss bitch. Chrome man, but when the Henny hit, I might Millie rock to get a ball fit. In the new days with my old ways, game change, but the name don't. My horse shades is they main hoes. Got a lot of them, my whole stable. I don't lie to them, it's no fables. Wrapped on country flavor. Now we worldwide, we made a big brand. Now our catalog is so major. Rodeo or Rodeo, portfolio is so player. Tomato or tomato.
And the remix is good. I mean, it's kind of cool to see them actually go onto a track, but I mean, I still think Lil Nas X is actually pretty good.
Yeah, I hope Lil Nas X isn't just like a one-hit wonder. Because like with 7 EP having come out last year, we want to see like what's happening next. But
yeah,
I
want to see what happens
this.
If he releases an LP. Yeah. That's what I'm waiting for, really.
Yeah.
But like, it's not that bad, honestly. So
yeah.
And it was kind of cool to see. It was funny to see here. Nas go, I'm Big Nas, you Lil Nas. Oh
my God, exactly. Hilarious. I mean, it's the torch being passed in rap. It's
yes,
a really nice
it's kind of cool.
I wouldn't think in this podcast ever really that Sean would ask for us to put a Taylor Swift song on new singles. And yet here we are. Only the Young by Taylor Swift.
Yes. It was released for, I think she had a documentary or some
yes.
shit on Netflix that a lot of people have been talking about and stuff, especially Swift fans. But the reason why I put this on here because the lyrics and stuff for Only the Young is it's actually political, which I don't...
Not think. And is it Taylor Swift political or is it...
Like, actually, like, decently political. Because, you know, the famous thing of Audio Face of whiny artists who don't know what they're talking about and stuff. And usually, like, you can hear it in their music and stuff because
yeah.
they'll say things like, oh, we suck, boo-hoo. But they don't really say anything about it or whatnot. But this one is interesting where it's saying that more or less only young folk can save whatever it is that you want to save.
Yeah, I remember there's a line in there about going to school wondering if you're gonna have to like be shot or not.
Whoa. And I heard that quote too. That was kind of cool.
Yeah, so Taylor Swift getting a little more woke. You know, baby steps here.
Baby,
there.
Exactly. Right, step in the right direction. Hopefully it's not two steps backwards. But I actually enjoyed the song.
Yeah.
Normally, you know, for me in pop, I hate pop, but like, this isn't bad.
Yeah, and there is something to be said about the construction of the song itself is definitely bearable.
Mm-hmm.
It's not overproduced or poppy. It just sounds pretty decent. So props to Taylor Swift for that. Her documentary also came out kind of talking, touching on her like career and rise and things like that. And also the hate she's gotten and
yeah,
dealing with
yeah,
that
and
how it's affected her emotionally.
which is
some justified, some not. Yeah. Naturally.
But she didn't really talk about in the documentary, because I guess it wasn't filmed when it happened, but her big thing with the record label where they were basically holding her hostage and saying, yeah, you can only perform new songs. She goes, why?
Yeah.
But she said that, I guess it was, she talked about it ad nauseum, that she didn't want to put it into this documentary, just wants to move past it now.
Yeah.
Which I understand, because first off, fuck record labels. We've said that a multitude of times in here, but you know, I'm gaining some respect for her now, which is interesting.
Yeah, here and there. You know, you know, new year, new me.
New year, new year, right? new decade, new T-Swift. Good job.
Yeah, yeah. And then, it was the Netflix documentary that called the ownership of the masters into question, right? Because Taylor Swift wanted to use them for this. So at least it's out now.
Exactly. Like, so you know, she's going to be a DSA, but like, whoa, what happened here?
Too much sauce.
Too much sauce. We've got the Dan Corner. Take it away.
Yeah, so Gorillaz are back. The McRib is back.
Damon, God damn it. You're supposed to be retired. You're supposed to be joining vacation. It's like Peaky Blinders, where the one guy goes on vacation, but actually literally goes crazy and starts killing people because he's like, I can't be on vacation.
Yeah.
That's what Damon is.
So Gorillaz released a single, Momentary Bliss, featuring Slow Tie and Slaves. Yeah, and Slaves. It's a pretty, I'd say almost like Don Comatic era kind of song.
That's what it sounds like it.
Obviously with Slow Thigh and Slaves adding their own like new unique remixes and spins onto it. But as usual with Gorillaz, nothing can ever be simple. It's always like an idea wrapped in a project, wrapped in a thing. So the song itself sounds like really good, and I like the spin that it has on it.
It's fun. It's
Yeah. Bills, they must be paid. And what is left is salt and cake. Typical. Oh, you need to change your face. You get it sold. It's such a waste. You know we could do so much better than this. Swimming in pools of momentary bliss. Where you gotta buy the bounty, cause everybody take it. Meanwhile you keep on adding. How big you gotta grow. It makes me sick. Doing happy in your skin is where it fits. Sorry. But it's part of a thing called Song Machine. What is Song Machine? At first, I wasn't quite sure, but basically, this is kind of actually in reference to something we've talked about, like with Charli XCX and with alternative releases, release times. Mm-hmm. So rather than coming up with like an album or a specific project, Song Machine will just be like, every once in a while, Gorillaz collaborating with some artist and releasing that music out, like, one at a time, like, singles. Not quite that, like, I'm not sure, / I really hope not, and we'll get to my hope nots about Gorillaz in a moment, but I don't think that's gonna, like, make it into a big album, per se. Maybe someone will compile it together. But my understanding is that Song Machine is gonna be, like, every month or so, a new Gorillaz, like, collaboration is going to come out like this.
Damon, we get it. You've got black friends, okay? Now you don't need to like tell the world.
Just monthly.
What?
Monthly tell the world.
Monthly tell the world that Damon, you've got black friends. We get it. You're cool. Just take a holiday.
Yeah.
Just take a holiday.
Jamie Hewlett said that they already have like a good number of these. Like the first season of Song Machine animated.
Oh, dear.
It's already animated and done. So they're just like getting ready for the.
How much coke have they ingested? Oh my God!
And so this
these guys
really,
never take breaks.
It's a new phase.
It's interesting. It's a new phase because the humans phase was interesting. I think it was just way too
human / now.
Now I like the now a lot more than humans. I've already said that a bunch of times, but it's gonna be interesting to see what happens with this because especially with all the collaboration stuff, if they can make it cohesive like they did on the now, or if it's gonna be another humans where it's like, okay.
Well, that even kind of changes it because we won't necessarily be looking for something cohesive. Like, cohesive into what? Obviously, the song
is exactly.
Cohesive,
that's where I'm like, it's going to be interesting.
If these songs are coming out once or twice, they kind of gives it a little more flexibility for
the band to go
in certain directions they probably wouldn't if they were trying to put an album together. Again, you wouldn't believe they cared if you paid attention to humans, but, like, the Gorillaz do really know how to put albums together.
Oh, no, they do, for sure.
When they just don't overdo it.
When they just, when Damon doesn't get drunk off, I've got 30,000 friends, let's go, I'll make an album together.
Yes. But last thing about, this new phase of Gorillaz, this Gorillaz partnership, it's basically going to be them working with old artists, working with new artists, elevating them that kind of way, giving the Gorillaz platform to these like up and coming artists. It's almost like XXL's freshman class, but a band.
Gotcha.
And I think that's a really good kind of way to lift up new artists, which Gorillaz has kind of always done. All their collaborators, even when they started being collaborator heavy around Demon Days, were a good mix of old artists and new artists that wouldn't have their own like spread out careers since doing that. So I think for music as a whole, like as a contribution to music, this Song Machine thing might be really great. It might put some artists on the map that, you know, like maybe needed some bump or some like shout out or whatever, but are really good. And yeah, hopefully music wise, this doesn't turn into something like, my fear is that Gorillaz becomes Major Lazer, where they're no longer a band, they're more of a brand. Where just like they slap it on festivals and shirts and songs like that, and it just becomes a, like, it just waters down the whole product. I hope they don't do that. I don't think they will, but...
That's your, it's a legitimate fear to
It's
have,
a legitimate
for sure.
fear, absolutely. But nevertheless, the song is good. There's your Gorillaz discourse for the week.
Yep. We've got Our Love by Incubus. Solid Incubus song, actually, because with 8 was kind of hit and miss with me. Sorry, I got a burp. Our Love is actually a very, like, one of my favorite Incubus tracks to come out in the past 7 or 8 years, honestly. Like, this shit's been on repeat since it came out.
Just beneath the skin, always reminded, you can only live so long as a fake. Time is wearing thin, let's our love begin. I want to push the button. I wanna know the others are offended. Yeah, picking me up the sound, getting me off the ground.
It feels like a Pro Left of the Murder era of Incubus, so like that early 2000s. Stuff Incubus, but just enough changes to not make it sound Uncle Rocky, as I like to make a new phrase of the decade.
Yeah,
but it's great. It's a very good song. It's, I like it where it doesn't have that cliche kind of crescendo and stuff with a lot of rock. It kind of cuts off, goes slower, gets into like the main chorus, but it's nothing, not like their old and previous work, but definitely sticks to their sound of it. And you know, Brandon Boyd's voice is fucking amazing.
Yeah,
the dude's still. And he's one of those musical artists who's just an artist in general, because he does visual arts, a bunch of other things. He's just creating so much all the time. So it's great to hear them still go around. I'm still trying to see them show, because one time I was supposed to go to a show, it got canceled, and I was very upset.
Yeah, so, Our Love is a rock song.
It's a rock, 100%.
It's an absolute rock song. It's a very good rock song. I don't know what this means for Incubus. I don't know the state of them as a band.
They're still like, touring and stuff. They're still doing a bunch. I don't know if they're going to be releasing an album or not, because they've had... One other single we didn't talk about last year that was released, but I think it was kind of like a one-off thing. But this one sounds like this could be on an album single, right, which is interesting, but I haven't heard much about what they're going to be doing. So, yeah, that's that. If they're releasing an album, we will let you guys know.
Absolutely. We'll be reviewing that
show. We will.
Retrospect.
We should have done a retrospect for 8, but if they do an album this year, 100% doing a retrospective, because they're one of my favorite rock bands of all time. Then we've got... One of my favorite songs of the decade so far. Hold On by Little Dragon. Holy fuck.
My guy's not even 5 weeks into the decade, and we've already got to start the 50 or the 20 spreadsheet.
God, Little Dragon is ridiculously good. Yeah, oh my really god, good. She's so good.
She is a singer, and then like the group that supports. Absolutely.
The production, it's the vocals, disco. Everything is beautiful. So for those of you who like these things, I have a playlist called 2020 on Spotify that has all my favorite songs of the decade, or of the year that I'm going to be doing, putting on. This is the very first song that's on there, because I was like, you know, I should start making this. I got a little...
You know a song's very good. You know a song's very good when it, like, inspires you to start a playlist.
Exactly, because I'm like, I need to put this somewhere so I don't forget about the song, because I don't want to forget about the song because I listen to so much music naturally. I'm like, let me make a playlist of all my stuff. So I got some Caribou on there, I got Fortet, and then Little Dragon, a bunch of other little stuff. But goddamn, this is... Listen to the single.
We have an album coming out in March.
Yeah, I know. This year.
2020.
2020 is going to be so much sauce.
This is really good.
And then
and our last one. Single, Fever Dream by Mixumtune.
I've heard of her before. I know she does, she's like an up-and-coming pop artist, so she's very young. I think she's under...
Indie pop.
Normal pop, I should say. And I vaguely listened to her stuff before, but I never like sat down and listened to it. Fever Dream is a good single.
Yeah,
it's a solid like mixing bedroom pop with normal pop in a way of the production of it, which not too many people do.
Yeah.
But it's enough where it's something I can bop to, but it doesn't feel too conformed of it. I need to honestly go back and listen to her other albums and stuff, because I know she released it a little bit last year, but I got wind of it come December, so it's been really recently.
Yeah.
It's good though. I like it.
Days are only footprints in the snow. How far away can I walk till I'm way too far from home? I wish I knew.
Her voice is fantastic.
Her voice is really
Dude, she's cool. So mature, because I looked at the picture, I'm like, whoa, dude, she's definitely a teenager or early 20s, at like 20 at most. But her voice is amazing.
Our generation is bringing it, I think.
Oh, for sure. There's a lot of new up-and-coming artists that are amazing, especially female artists that are doing great work.
Yes.
So, let's go into albums with that. That's all of our singles, which is a lot.
Yeah, we usually don't do... Some weeks we do no singles. Some weeks we do 20 singles.
Yeah, this is one of those weeks because it's so light on news. At this point, let's just do all music.
Yeah, it was light on news, but it was also pretty heavy on singles. There were quite a lot of like good singles that happened.
Exactly, that we need to just all talk about.
I'm more than happy devoting airtime to the music.
Yes.
So let's go, speaking of, straight into Funeral by Lil Wayne.
It is 24 songs, 1 hour and 16 minutes long.
It don't make them like that anymore.
goddamn, this is long. But it's interesting. I have a love-hate relationship with this album. There are songs that are great. There are songs that are absolute garbage. There are songs that are amazing. There are songs that I want to rip my headphones out in this album.
Yes.
The opening track, Funeral, it literally completely sets the mood of the entire album. Great opening track. Fantastic.
This doesn't sound like a The Carter series.
No, album. Not at all.
And of course, like Lil Wayne doesn't need to be said. Like, he has quite a vocal range.
And he has such... Yeah, exactly. He has a wide variety of different styles of albums, but this is definitely a peel from The Carter 5, which we talked about a year and a half ago or so when that came out. Mahogany is a very good track. I actually really like that. After a while, I'm like, can you please stop saying the word mahogany? Because it's starting to sound really weird.
When you look at a word you've been typing too
exactly
long,
like, and you're just feeling. Like is this an actual word, or is this an illusion that my brain created, like the flat earth? But I love the production of Mahogany a lot. Then it goes to Mamma Mia. Fucking hate that song. Let's skip. I Do It featuring Big Sean, Lil Baby. It's okay. It just feels like their parts are a little too much to me into the song. So you can't really hear much of Lil Wayne. But
yeah, when you're
that.
Doing... I've noticed a trend. When you do like three rappers collaborating on the
it's
same
thing.
It's
just too much.
It starts to get a little bit much.
Yeah, exactly. Dreams is good.
Nevertheless, Migos exists.
Yeah, exactly. Dreams is okay. Stop Playing With Me is actually pretty cool. Clap For Them is bad. Because it's like, open them pussy lips. I go, God, no, we're not going there.
It's quite a thing.
Let's not talk about that.
My favorites are pretty predictable because this is a collaboration, not heavy, but like moderate album. Mm-hmm. And there are some like heavy hitting rappers on here, like lyricists that are very good. Yes. And so Bing James with J-Rock.
Is a fucking banger of a track. That's damn good. Bing James, fantastic.
J-Rock, keep pumping them out, baby.
Oh, yes.
Keep good. At you with my 40 Glock when I'm on my savage shit.
Bodies on that black top. Yeah. Weapons in the stash box. Yeah. Keep a couple lamb chops. Yeah. All we serve is hearses. Yeah. You don't get no ambulance ride. All we know is big B's. Yeah, you know that's gang gang. This ain't what you want. You don't wanna lose your bang bang. Focused on this bag now. Yeah, we fund the projects. Yeah. We got that PTSD like some Vietnam vest. Miss me with that bullshit. I'm just trying to make a play. White Lamborghini truck. Bitches call it Yola Ye. Sharpest razor blade. Smith and Wesson in my brain.
Very good. Actually, it was hilariously good. Is I Don't Sleep featuring the one, the only Takeoff.
Yeah.
The other Migos.
Free Takeoff.
Free Takeoff. Because this dude, I'm convinced that Takeoff is a really, really good artist. He just went along Migos because he's like, I guess the record label wants me to do this, so I'm just going to go with them.
The Migos, they were all, they're family, they're cousins at least. So like they were like, okay, we'll do the rap game together. It's a thing because we're a trio. Works, but like, I've always said Takeoff has the most lyrical talent
really shows up. I Don't Sleep is a fantastic track.
Yeah. Told her I was sleep. Really, I was with my other bitch from Italy. Text message from my Memphis bitch, she get them 10 a key. They stitch you 30 minutes and they don't need antifreeze. I believe niggas trying to get the goals that I achieve. Me without the paper, just like Tune without the lean. What? Or Phil without the rings. What? Snoop without the weed. AI without the sleep. IG without the memes. Nah. I'm up Adderall, these niggas they drinking no Tylenol. No. I give it the X, she give me the neck, and no, we didn't talk at all. Jaws, I'm breaking the man, she getting the balls and all. Balls. I cannot sleep and I cannot eat if it ain't codeine involved.
Even this Trust Nobody with Adam Levine, which is super fucking random that Adam Levine's on here, is a good track too. The one, No You Know, 2 Chainz, I didn't like it that much, it's kind of whatever.
Can we get to and like then, the thing that's going
And then
put
we're
going to
get the thing. I was just delaying it because I want to talk about the music that I like, and now we're going to get to Lil Nas Abuser, XXXTentacion, get out of my head. How about you get out of the head of your pregnant woman?
And yeah, and this is like a double up because Lil Wayne was on XXXTentacion's posthumous album as well.
Yes.
So they probably had some type of deal going back and forth. I don't know how many times we have to teach you this lesson, old man.
How many
times? Like, literally.
I don't want to be a burden. SpongeBob is life.
SpongeBob is I can definitely tell like who's a late millennial versus who's an earlier millennial.
Yeah,
who's how to understand SpongeBob references.
Exactly.
But like the issue with the XXXTentacion thing, it's one of the weirder songs on the album, just like the way it sounds. Yes. It's almost like
different.
Kind of shouty
it's like a black sheep in the whole album. It doesn't to me doesn't fit in the album much at all.
Yeah. And it's just like kind of annoying that we still embrace this person, even posthumously. There's literally no need to.
Stop. Seriously.
But it's just more reflective of the latter half of the album. There are just songs you can just kind of give or take. Like, we didn't need to have them on. Mm-hmm. This album definitely did not, like, most of Lil Wayne's albums, this is consistent. They're usually,
long
about an hour 16 or so. They usually have 20 minutes or so. And, like, he's got talent. He's got bars. You can keep doing this forever.
Yep.
And he has, like, different flows for different styles of albums, and he's really consistent with that. I don't think his talent has ever been in question. It's just that a lot of times there's just too much Lil Wayne. The thing I teased in the before we started, Sean, where I was going to introduce a term, this is elevator rap.
It's, elevator rap.
Yeah. I also put Logic in this category. It's relatively relatively inoffensive. You could even say good sometimes, but it's just kind of blends into the background so much much of an output even. That it's almost
I had this album on in the background when I was doing stuff earlier today, and I go, yeah, I could definitely like that. It makes sense for sure. But overall, it's a decent album. It's nothing's offensive minus XXX, and but overall, it's a good effort. Just you really don't need all that music too.
Yeah.
All right. So
our arbitrary scale this week, because Sean has been helping very much in picking other ones. This time it's going to be Hillary quotes because hashtag Rashida Tlaib for the Vince Staples Roke Award. That's all I'm going to say. This week's Hillary quote, or like the Hillary quote that's going to go for this album for me.
Yeah, that's mine.
Mine is Basket of Deplorables.
Basket of Deplorables? That's a great.
Because it's like kind of true. I mean, it's like fairly inoffensive and like true, but like also a bit of a gap.
This is a solid 8th of July 2016. It was a mistake for me to use my personal email, because when you got to personally email XXXTentacion's people to put him onto the album, you know you made a mistake.
Well, it worked. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
We were able to squeeze out a little bit of news, basically, by talking
of a towel.
Literally, by talking about the thing that we predicted down to a T last week before actually seeing the awards.
Deadass! We said everything was how this was gonna happen.
Mostly. So, the Grammys happened last week. Billie Eilish had a clean sweep.
Yep.
Which is like, you know, I wish it was a little more interesting. That's why we tend not to do that on the Audio Face Awards. Like, we try to keep it kind of spread out. But it's well-deserved, usually. Oftentimes, the Grammys are not very well-deserved, so good on her. Let me see. She got Song of the Year, Record of the Year, Album of the Year, Best New Artist. Mm-hmm. And her brother won a producing Grammy.
That's cool, because her brother is fucking fantastic at what he does.
Yeah,
and because his own solo work and stuff is really good, too. So that guy is... Yeah.
Yeah. And like Billie Eilish is like the front duo. I'm totally fine with that dynamic, but like it's gotta be
But
said,
he definitely needs to get the credit he deserves for sure.
Yeah. And then Tyler the Creator actually did, I'm not kidding, like nominate his way onto the Vince Staples Woke Award
for sure.
Saying what we've been saying forever, which is Tyler the Creator called out the Grammys urban and rap categories by saying it's a politically correct way to say the N-word.
Pretty much.
Literally.
Because, let's not even say it, because like hip-hop and R&B is like, that's the black category.
Yeah, like, I would say like in the 90s, hip-hop, like, yeah.
Exactly.
First off, there's no excuse to put hip-hop and R&B in the same category.
They're so fucking different.
Yeah.
It's like putting jazz and rock.
Yeah, it's like literally you're basically saying white people music, kind of, because black people also heavily influence jazz and rock,
which
is
exactly.
That's almost my second point. My first point is that in the 90s, it almost made sense. There was like there was genuinely hip hop. It sounded very different from genuinely rock. And very rarely did the two cross over together. It was cool when they did, but very rarely when they did. That's almost fine then. But the second point is that at this point in 2020.
The urban youth.
Urban youth. R&B. No, but like, at this point in 2020,
so
we're all making music that's influenced by everything. It all sounds like very similar. And so genres mean more and less than ever.
Exactly,
before.
Because that's when I go on this podcast, I've been having a hard time I just compare it to now other people's music, because I'm like, genres are stupid because there's so much different stuff. And why do you need to put it into a category when you just want to make music?
Yeah.
So there you go.
I think genres are helpful as guides.
Exactly, they're guidelines.
But,
they should be guidelines, not rules.
Exactly, it just gets you
it's
in
like
the ballpark.
It's like the pirate code.
Yeah.
They're more like guidelines anyways. Also, no one fucking watched the goddamn Grammys.
This is my favorite thing to do every single year. We've done this 3 years running, where we talk about the Grammys viewership numbers, and it's just gone down and down and down. It fell by over 1 million viewers compared to last year, which was already a big dip. And just 5.4% of 18 to 49 year olds tuned in.
That's rough.
I mean, that's...
That's like, yeah, nope.
It's a damn shame. I mean, obviously we're just consuming the Grammys
that's
on Twitter
shame.
And the internet and everything.
I'm pretty much just what we're doing.
There's no real need to watch the award show. I think it's kind of...
Because you just see who won and then you go onto your keyboard and yell at people for whatever your opinions are. Yeah, that's why people listen to the Audio Face Awards. Anyways, we're going to go on to... our second album of the day, we've got High Road by Kesha. I got the hiccups now. 16 songs, 52 minutes long.
I'm gonna truly feel it.
No.
I don't water near
you
if you want.
I think... Anyways, this album...
We listen to it so you don't have to. And by listen to it is kind of a stretch.
Tonight might be one of the worst songs I've listened to in a very long time. This was just like when I listened to High Hopes the first time, and I was stunned that I couldn't turn off the song. So it opens up, the first about minute or so is like kind of this little piano ballad, whatever you want to, like what every pop artist does. I'm like, okay, this is whatever. I've heard this every time since 2001, but we can deal with this. And then
we can
like,
get through this.
If we could get through this. Some guys can't cross bridges. Sean can't listen to a pop album all the way through. It's okay, we can get through this. And then 45 seconds in, it just completely turns into the worst song on Flat Green Earth of the year so far.
Bitch, we going out tonight. Bitch, we going out. Bitch, we going out tonight. Bitch, pick up your phone. Bitch, we going out tonight. Bitch, we going out. Bitch, we going out tonight. Bitch, pick up your phone.
Okay, we're going out tonight. Don't wanna stay home. I got my girls to call the Uber cause I can't find my phone. I'm getting ready, many petty fancy shit with the letters. Now we're looking
like McLib is back, is basically the idea. When I say that, I mean Kesha is back. Like, all the Kesha's songs were always just the same iteration of me and my friends are going out to get like fucked up and make mistakes.
Yep, it's and like, yep, and because like, her album 2017, we were like, oh, she's actually talked about like her problems with drugs, whatever, mental health issues and stuff. What was it called?
Yes, Rainbow. Rainbow.
And we've talked, like, we said that album was okay. Like, it wasn't great or anything, but it was cool to hear her grow and stuff as an artist.
This was a step
and then back. This was like 18 steps back because Tonight was terrible. My Own Dance was whatever. Raising Hell was terrible.
I pulled out at Raising Hell.
It's like Raising Hell. I'm like, I can't on principle alone because there's just too much music to consume and stuff, too much good stuff being out that I don't want to listen to this anymore. It's terrible.
It's a shame that we didn't make it to Kinky featuring Kesha, which is Kesha with the dollar sign in it. I don't know what's the difference. Maybe it's her alter ego. Like, he's going, like, she's doing the whole MF Doom, Victor Vaughn shit.
I was literally about to say that.
Apparently there's a song called Potato Song, but what we really missed is the Brazzers National Anthem, Father Daughter Dance. Which might have been a good song. But nevertheless, we didn't make it because it was just all fucking garbage.
I still can't get over how bad that song is.
It's really bad.
It's really bad. This is, you know, this is even,
we came, we saw,
he damn it. No, it's not even that. It's the cackle laugh Hillary Clinton said after she said he died. It is that very maniacal, you know, she kills people laugh.
Right.
So we came, we saw, he died.
Like, you know, she doesn't have a bone in her body. Like, that, she's a reptile right there. Like, that's how bad this album is. Because I remember when that happened, I was like, if she ever becomes president, we're fucked.
It's your president's not supposed to have a maniacal laugh like that, ideally.
Yeah, exactly. Your president's supposed to kill people on the low, not in public.
and he's supposed to act like there's some shame when doing
exactly. It. Exactly. He's supposed to, yeah.
Like, our president should treat killing people like around the world as something that's like, it's like catching a 14-year-old kid masturbating. Just like necessary, but like, you know, you have to try to have a little bit of shame with it, but there's understanding. Oh, there's mutual understanding.
This is an interesting story. We got another story that we can talk a tiny bit about.
Industry shit.
Yes. So there's an article that from Music Business Worldwide. That's how you know we're on Slim Pickings, by the way. If we have to go on Music Business Worldwide, this is some old shit. Anyways, but there's
if you're an old head audio face listener, yeah, then you'll remember like full episodes where we would put you through Music Business Worldwide week.
It was rough. 2017 was rough. Anyways, so this article is titled "Over Half of Us listeners listen to fewer albums
than we did about a decade ago.
Yeah, 5 to 10 years ago, which is interesting.
So a global study carried out by Deezer, the French-born streaming music service, found that 54% of respondents listened to fewer albums than they did 5 or 10 years ago. The decline, according to Deezer's respondents, say they have too much music to choose from, in addition to being too busy to stick with a single LP. Which is really interesting. So basically, it's twofold. A, capitalism is like destroying our souls. So it's very hard to like pay attention.
But I think a lot of people are listening to playlists right now. That's what a lot of people I know who don't consume music like we do. A lot of them go to playlists.
Yeah.
And that's what they go. And that's how they discover new artists and stuff. But then from there, they don't go to the artists and go into the albums. Example, people I know who like the 1975, they hear a bunch of their songs on playlists. But then I go, oh, do you like this from A Brief Inquiry? Like, I'll say, oh, I like the song Mine from Brief Inquiry. Like, oh, I haven't heard that before. I go, you haven't listened to the album? No, I just listen to a playlist. I go, interesting. So I'm getting more and more people are starting to do that. So I think that has to contribute. There you go. It says, according to Deezer, almost 40% of those surveyed said they prefer playlists, while 1 in 10 felt that artists don't make albums like they used to. I mean, they don't. But again, and I've been telling this to my dad as well. Dad says that music is shit nowadays. I'm like, there's a lot of good music. The problem is it's not getting out to people, so you have to search for it. But people don't have time to search for new music a lot
because of our capitalism.
Yeah.
And the thing you were saying about, I wanted to get to about playlist creation is like, the other point that the Deezer survey found was that we are having trouble finding the new music that's out there because there's so much new music.
I mean,
the advent of the internet means there's just the floodgates are open.
Exactly. Before, you would just go to a record store, pick up a record, say, "This, hey, I've heard this artist. Let me see if I like it." That's what I did as a kid.
Or even like fairly recently, iTunes would just have like their new releases and it would just be like 10 or 12 because it was just very a nascent scene back then. Or LimeWire would have the newest 10 or 12 albums.
There we go. But like,
get your real player.
Right. But example, like how I listened to Discovery from Daft Punk in 2001. I walked to Circuit City that, you know, Circuit City used to exist. And they had a big ass music department. It was across the street from where I live. And I went up and I go, I want to listen to this album because I saw them on a Gap commercial. And I remember listening to Homework too.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, let me pick this up, put in my Walkman, and that's how I listened to it. I still have it somewhere.
Yeah, Homework was the very first album I bought with my own money.
Discovery was mine. And then I bought Homework after that.
I think a really interesting thing here, about a third of music consumers listen to tracks in chronological order. That's smart. That's good.
Good.
I mean, like, obviously, I will be honest here, I do cheat a little bit. Sometimes I don't listen to music in chronological order, but when I'm reviewing albums, I definitely do. It's oftentimes very fun for me to just like go through shuffle, and Sean's talked about how part of his reviewing albums process is to put the songs on shuffle after listening to them.
Exactly.
Chronological order.
Chronological first and shuffle to see how, because I like listening to albums on shuffle a lot.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to see, to me, if I know it's an amazing album, if it can still somehow be cohesive when you put it in shuffle. It is extremely hard to do, and most artists don't try to do it, but they don't need to, but it's just a little niche thing I do, because most of my favorite albums, about to say 95% of my favorite albums, I put on shuffle, and you can honestly play that album that way, and it would be fine almost every time.
Yeah.
So that's the little thing I do, but that's interesting to hear from that, but I guess it's making more sense when you go and talk to people about how they consume stuff, but that's also why I'm making more playlists, because people like listening to playlists, so that's how I'm trying to get more of you guys to get new music into your lives, because there's so much that we love, but we like go into artists and stuff into what they like, but there's just too much out there now.
I think that's a good thing we can do, like, it's one of the many more musical things we're doing this year. We can each have our own like 2020 playlist that'll help us to track things, and also like the people, the organics out there can see like our slightly different tastes
Like
what we're keeping together. I will say there's one more statistic I liked from this thing before we go to our last album review and kind of wrap up the show. It showed which countries listen to the most music. On average, people stream about 5 albums worth a month, which I think is still pretty
good. That's actually pretty good for most people.
Yeah. Brazilians listen to the most music.
Not surprised.
And French and Germans actually listen to the least.
Not surprised.
Survey. Yeah.
Honestly, I know Germans don't listen to a lot comparatively, because it's not ingrained into their culture. I like a lot of Latin cultures where music is everything.
Yeah.
I know that for sure.
Yeah. But y'all, like, seriously, just music discovery is really fun. And definitely people don't have time for it. And playlists help it so you don't have to, like, do as much deciding. You just get tunes that you're generally
too is be careful of the automated playlists, because a lot of them are kind of shit and they force you to listen to shit. Try and go to people like, obviously, Jason Bentley has his own, the old curator of Morning Becomes Eclectic. He has his own playlist that he has that actually, I looked at it after I made mine, and there's a lot of similarities. I'm like, this is hilarious. Yeah. There's a lot of songs in there that counter.
One day, if we can afford that Jason Bentley speaking fee, maybe we can have him on.
Oh, dude, I gotta pay off my loan first. Then I get the Jason Bentley loan. All right, let's go to our last album. Heavy is the Head by Stormzy, which came out in about mid-December. We haven't got a chance to talk about, but this is a fantastic album.
It's good
shit.
This
is very, very good.
It's good shit.
Like, good shit. The opening track.
16 songs.
Oh, yeah, 16 songs, 54 minutes. Wow, that's the first time I ever did that. I just want to talk about this shit because it's good. The opening track, Big Michael, has this big trumpet stuff in the back with drums.
Henry the Eighth, behead him, head him, head him. Can't tell where I'm heading.
No.
Could be Glasgow, could be Reading. I was on the field like Bedding. Dead him, dead him, dead him. Big Mac, I'm handling my weight. Big Mac, I'm standing with the grace. 1 week is blinded by your grace. Next week is bang you in your face. Oh God, they love to wind me up. But one by one, I line them up. Oh, you think you're black, I'm trying your luck. Big Mac, who's back, your time is up. All right, check this, man. Can't tell
dun,
me about
dun, dun, dun. It's cool. His voice... He's a rapper that has an accent, and he raps with the accent, which is really cool.
I mean, like, British rappers do... I mean, like, I do have a little bit more of a bias towards British rappers for reasons, but Stormzy, why am I blanking on his name right now? Skepta.
Skepta, yep.
Yeah, they do the accent's very heavy in the rap.
Yeah, because there's a lot of people that they have accents, but you can't really hear it. Like, certain guys do. Matty Healy has a very thick Manchester accent, keeps it in. Tom York doesn't have a big accent when he sings, but it's interesting if some people do. I actually like it when they have it, because it feels to me you have a little bit more personality into it.
Yeah.
But it depends on how you like to rap or sing or whatever. But anyways, there's a lot to take from this album. The production of it is second to none. We were just talking about this earlier, the last song on the album, Vossi Bop. The thing they do with the drums is amazing.
Yeah. I think he's trying to tell me I should tell her he don't talk, I don't fuck with her. Yeah, I used to hit it, but you're stuck with her. Man, I wouldn't even try my luck with her. Yeah, let's say I'm bougie. Word. Way too exclusive. Word. Chilling in Dubai, know I get it all inclusive. Word. Now, may I ask if you can find it in your spirit?
Yeah.
To leave us all alone and go and mind your fucking business. Huh? Looking in the mirror, saying, Mikey, you're the illest. Yeah. Man, I'm James Bond, trying to live my movie like I'm Idris. What we telling them, look. My brothers don't die, we just fussy, but I tell you.
I really, really like that as an ending track. I just want to jump to that real quick because of how good that song is. And then after that,
really fast with that song specifically, as I do want to describe it. Basically, like the drums are kind of reversed in a way,
morphed.
And then they're reversed, morphed, and then like cut in a way, so it's that like, you get this really sort of like visceral experience.
You could physically feel it in your eardrums.
This sound is gonna, I mean, like, it's been appearing more in pop music. Billie Eilish played around with it a lot in her album, and it's been obviously existed in industrial and house
and in the garage for sure. That's the first time I ever heard it was in garage.
But I'll predict that's gonna like start to make more of a comeback in this decade.
Yeah,
it's gonna come to more prominent levels of music.
There's a lot you can do with it too.
So fun.
There's so much you can do with it, and I think it's an effect because you know what's been happening recently is just the damn snare. But there's only so much you can do with the snare.
Yeah.
With the morphed drum, as I like to call it, there's so much you can do with a morphed drum. You could put something over it. You can hide it. You can make it really pronounced. There's a lot. So that fantastic. That might be my favorite song on the album, that or 1 Second featuring her, which is the ninth song, so smack dab in the middle of the album. Whoo, that's a fucking fantastic track.
It really is.
How am I complaining when I'm blessed? I get this guilty feeling on the days I'm on my best, when all these demons that I carry get to messing with my head. So could you give me just a second just to get out of my chest, please?
Just a second of your time, I could tell you stories about my life. I've seen hope and I've seen struggle.
There's a lot of different features on here. You've got Burner Boy and Ed Sheeran. You have her. You have Aich, Yeba, Tiana Major 9, and Heady One.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of a wide variety of it, but then the rest is just Stormzy. So, but all the features, they go well together, actually. Even though song Own It with Ed Sheeran and Burner Boy, it's actually a good song. Because you know me, Ed Sheeran's not a little bitch, but it's actually a decent track.
I really like the album. I guess I have this bias towards British rap.
Oh, for sure.
But Stormzy has a fucking game.
Oh,
he brings
sure.
it
it's good.
When it comes lyrically with his flows. I think my favorite song in this, Rachel's Little Brother, it's kind of near the beginning. And it's one of the longer songs, but it just kind of shows like the lyrical depth and kind of what you're dealing with Stormzy that's just great to offer.
And I spill it to my therapist. It's not a healthy way of living, but we living still. Trying to fill empty voids up with 7-figure deals. Sertraline and nicotine, I hit it till it heals. And that's the kind of shit to keep a nigger in his feels. Cause I could have been a doctor, could have been a lawyer, could have been a boxer like I'm Oscar De La Hoya. If I stayed at work, I'd probably piss off my employer. I'm old school like Lacey Ann, Alpha and Latoya. So it's thank you to my mother, and thank the Lord above us. I'm Mr. GQ when I'm gracing on the cover. Plus I'm multi-talented, it's like I'm Donald Glover. Like what the fuck you talking about? I'm Rachel's little brother, straight up.
I really think British rap is like a couple miles ahead of most American rap. There have been some good bangers made in America, and like America started trap. But like right now, the thing is that in trap, you generally only have a couple of kind of beats or tracks as a general kind of background to lay off of. And America's cycled through that too quickly. They don't iterate off of it.
Yes.
In England, or at least the English production, there's a lot more iteration off of that. So even though I've heard trumpets in trap before, and even though I've heard songs with a beat like Pop Boy, for example, before, it's such a different spin on it and a different take on it, not just
because the guy's accent, but just like, that's the thing that we like with Vince Staples so much, especially Big Fish Theory. He used a lot of electronic music beats into trap, and that's what this does, but it does different versions, the European underground house stuff, which I've been saying I would love to mix with rap more, because there's so much you can do with that. Bishop Nero does that a little bit too. So, but you can hear that a lot more with you, even like Eastern European rap and stuff. You can hear that way more focused around that. But British rap is doing it on a whole different level. So, yeah, fantastic album. This is, I got to find a good quote from our very own HRC.
Notorious
HRC.
I'm going to say this is the Super Predators.
Super Predators?
I'm giving this Super Predators.
All right, that's a good
but
one.
But you know what? We're going to reclaim the word. Hillary Clinton used it as a pejorative for black people who were, you know, doing crimes in the law. When it comes to the rap game and kind of really killing it, Stormzy is super, maybe not a predator, but like just super editor.
This is, we're going to put a lot of coal companies and coal miners out of business. because he's doing renewable energy. Stormzy's invested into hydro.
Stormzy's got a Tesla.
Stormzy's got a Jaguar I-Pace.
Oh my god.
That'd be way too much sauce if he did. That car.
Audi has gone electric.
Audi's gone super electric.
Electric has gone Audi. No, okay. Coming up in February, it's just going to be a lot of fun times.
We'll just talk about this.
Green Day is releasing an album, which should be a riot.
That's going to be interesting for sure.
We have The Professionals, which is Madlib and Oh No. That was a collaboration that released in January that we are going to get to for sure. Pet Shop Boys also released a thing. We're going to go into some different stuff. But February, we're going to have a Tame Impala bonus episode. We're going to need to do that because
Tame Impala is
coming out on Valentine's Day.
It's a great Valentine's Day present for everybody. Yes. Here you go. Here's probably one of the albums of the year, right here.
Albums of the year, albums of the decade. You're gonna definitely remember where you want to be on this Valentine's Day. Then Caribou. We're gonna do two bonus episodes. Looks like this month.
For sure. We gotta do Caribou and we gotta
Tame Impala and Caribou.
Yes, for sure.
So
because I like doing those bonus episodes. A lot of viewers like, or listeners, I should say, like having our bonus episodes because they get a sense. If Incubus releases an album, definitely gonna do a bonus episode for them as well.
Yeah, so. They're really fun to do. A lot of people can also really get caught up to speed because we always say, hey, it's very hard for people to listen to these albums and catch up with them. Well, you can kind of get a little cheat.
Do we need to do another one with 1975 or no? Because we already did one like 2 years ago.
We'll do what we did with Beck where
we
stitched together.
Yeah, stitched together one. And then I could talk about like the Brief Inquiry version of them because I've seen them in tour too.
Yeah,
so we'll do that.
Yeah, okay. We can maybe have you do this part of the episode where you just
like what update, I did with Beck. Yeah, okay. Yeah, we'll do that then.
And you can also talk about the new singles too. I think that'll be interesting. But somehow in a 1975 list episode, we managed to sneak it in somehow.
Yeah, because that's what happens when there's nothing to talk about. It's just my brain naturally goes there. So that's
we
what
still
happens.
Managed to fill a podcast. So.
Somehow,
good.
We are professionals. Thank you for listening to Audioface. This has been episode 128. You can follow me on all the socials at SW Suarez if I trust you. You can follow him at Dan from the web on Twitter, at Dan from the internet on Instagram. You can follow us on Instagram at AudioFacePod and all the stuff. You can follow us on YouTube at audioface.show.
Show. Yes. Oh, YouTube is
YouTube.audioface.show. There we go. Thank
yes.
you. And go to our webpage too to go look at all the other shit as well. So you can see all of the other episodes. You know, rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts because that's what most of y'all do it. But if you do that, go switch to like Spotify or whatever other app because fuck communism.
Yeah.
Except as a pilot now, I gotta get a goddamn iPad and I'm low-key butthurt about that.
Thank you very much for listening to Audioface. We will talk to you next week where we'll have more music.
Yes.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Go Bernie. Did the Brassers joke hit?
That was so funny. I just had an image of a logo just zoom, whatever they're like. Zoom. Does that have a sound on the podcast?
I don't watch porn. It's
honestly.
all porn is now father-daughter shit.
Seriously, it is. It's all incest porn.
A number of people have brought this up to me.
And I'm like, somebody asked me that too, and I'm like, wait, Sean, you don't watch porn. But it's all incest. I go, wait.
We need to gather surveillance.
I'm like, wait. It's what now? Yeah, there's like websites for this. I go, oh, Christ. Like, are you serious?
This is the worst country ever. We deserve everything that's coming to us.